Broadcasting from the radio tower in Goldenrod City, this is KTPT Pokemon Radio.
Welcome to the first ever Halloween episode of KTPT. I am Count Dacula.
And I am Zombub.
Okay, so shenanigans aside, this is the very first ever Halloween episode of KTPT, as well as the very first ever official KTPT episode, even though we're not hosted on our own feed yet.
Number one.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, what do you do? Alright, so, forewarned is fairwarned. I'm going to tell you at the very, very beginning. For those of you that have been with WTPT in the past, we have done, or rather, Casey and Joey have done, a Lovecraft story at the end of the Halloween episode, edited to be about Pokemon. And, not to disappoint, we did the same thing. However, ours is a little bit, what would you call it, dark?
Darker.
Darker than they have been in the past, so bear with us. It's going to be a little bit PG-13.
You've been warned.
So if you're a child under 10, just throughout the entire last, 20, 25 minutes of the episode, cover your ears and go la 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 la.
Yeah, you can't just turn it off. You have to cover your ears and make that noise.
It's going to happen. That's the rule. Okay, so we got some site news for you to start off our little podcast. First off, the Tumblr account is up. You're going to be able to find it if you're on Tumblr by going to http://.
Ooh, fancy.
ktptpodcast.tumblr.com. And you'll notice that the decorations are done by a very good friend of ours. She goes by JadeXE online, and I don't know if we're allowed to release her name, but she hangs out with us a lot. She's a really good artist. We might offer some buttons from her as a prize in the future.
Ooh,
ooh, they're really cool buttons. We'll get some pictures for you once she has them all printed up. But yep, the Tumblr's up. And Bub, what do you think about the activity on the actual forums themselves?
So I've definitely been on the chat basically every day. I am noticing that it is picking up activity, which is absolutely amazing. That's one of our goals was, you know, oh yeah, we're bringing up more people listen to us, hopefully the site gets bigger. We're also noticing in welcome wagons, we're seeing people go, hey, I was an old member, I noticed that you guys have updated the podcast, and now I want to join the site, which is even better, because old members who are just now coming back, I mean, who wouldn't want that?
The two that leap to mind immediately are Glaceon Station and Fanfy.
There you go.
So, yep, that's a shout-out to you guys.
Shout-outs.
There you go. We're pointing at the screen right now. This is a shout-out.
Shout-out!
All right, let's see. Oh, past that, you may notice that this is, as I mentioned before, once again hosted on the WTPT feed. We are having some technical difficulties getting our own feed.
No fun.
I tried routing it through the Tumblr account. Didn't work. I tried a bunch of different podcast hosting sites. None of them worked. They didn't want our audio files. So we're either going to try and scrape the bottom of the barrel for something to work, or we're going to have to dish out some money.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. Fortunately, Bub is not scared of spending money. He is the cash man. He is our cash cow. He makes it rain. All right. So I'm going to hand the Pokemon news section over to Bub since that is his
thing.
The news. We have news outside of the website. We have news pertaining to the Pokemon world around us.
Ooh, fancy. Okay. So first item of business, it is going to be our major news story of the day. It's going to be the PokemonGrade.com registration. A lot of you have probably seen this. Everyone in Pokemon is talking about it right now. It has been registered by a company named IT Digital Brand Services. Now, this is a company that also registered PokemonBlackWhite.com, which was Nintendo of America's official Pokemon website. So everyone's thinking, oh, that's going to be Pokemon Gray's the new, what did we say, threequel?
I don't think threequel's the right word. I've always heard them referred to as a connector game. But didn't Game Freak say previously that they weren't
yes,
going
that's
to?
Exact my point. Now you're when I do the news here, you're entering the Austin spin zone.
Oh,
so I'm always going to give my personal opinion and my twist to the news. I would not jump to any conclusions at this point. And here are my reasons. First of all, 2 months before the game had come out in the international region, so not Japan, but 2 months before that, a couple of people got an interview with, I'm going to try to pronounce his name, Mana Ibe, a designer on Pokemon Black White.
Good try.
I know, I tried. And the exact quote is, no, when asked, are we going to be seeing a third game, a connector game, supposedly Pokemon Gray, the response was, no, not at all. We are done with this generation with Pokemon Black and White Edition.
Okay, but if that's the case, why would they put in, what's his name, Kieran? The big gray one that you catch in the void, why would they put him in there in the first place, and why would they not make a connector game for this generation if they had done it for every single generation previously?
About the Kyurem, is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea.
I still haven't caught it, but, yeah, I personally do not know about that. Maybe they had plans, but another reason I don't think that they're going to go ahead and do with this third generation is they have the introduction of the 3DS. Now, some people are saying, oh, well, if they release it on the 3DS, then it'll be a system seller. They'll get more, you know, handhelds out there.
Which was what I was scared of when they first released Black and White so close to the 3DS release.
Yeah. They're at a weird point where you're releasing, if you release for the 3DS, then people are going to feel like they need to buy a 3DS, and maybe they don't want that to do that. Or the Pokemon company thinks, if they put it on the 3DS, not enough people are going to get it because not enough people are going to be motivated to get a 3DS. So you're having this weird split. If you release it for the DS, then there's a 3DS people saying, why did I get this 3DS?
Well, then why don't they just do like they did with Black and White initially and have like extra 3D bonus stuff like they did with the X transceiver kind of thing? Be like, oh man, if you're playing it on the 3DS, then all of your gym leader battles will be in 3D. And it, like, prints money or something.
Prints money, then that will definitely sell.
That's what the boat peripheral does.
Yeah, I can only hope. But, yeah, I'm gonna say, I understand what people are saying. Yeah, Pokemon Gray is coming. I say don't get your hopes up. We also gotta keep in mind, companies register domains
willy-nilly.
I mean, it's not like it costs them much. I mean, when you think about it, it's a big company. Just register a bunch of names. What you're doing by doing that is making it so that fans can't get it, and then if for future things, you still have that domain. Like, I have a couple websites here that all Pokemon-related, but they don't actually have Pokemon, but they all redirect officially back to the Nintendo official site. PokemonTopaz.com, PokemonAmethyst.com, and PokemonOpal.com. All those take you just back straight to Nintendo, because Nintendo has those. They don't want fans getting those and then releasing some fake Pokemon website, getting people all excited.
Right.
So,
but by doing that, they inadvertently created a fake Pokemon website and got people all excited.
They're just, like, taking it so that people don't take it.
Okay.
Also interesting to note is PokemonGray.com, spelled with an E, for Gray.
Mm-hmm.
That has also been taken by GoDaddy.com.
Oh, well.
Presumably by a fan, though, is what everyone's saying.
I'm thinking GoDaddy.com is actually going to be the developer behind the connector game.
Oh, how interesting would that be?
Considering their commercials, it would be very interesting.
Alright, so that's about the PokemonGray.com.
Alright, so in summation, they made a website, probably won't make a game, according to Bub's expert's opinion.
If you want to call it that.
I do want to call it that. Okay, right, let's continue. Next order of
next
business.
Next order of business. This was pretty recent, too, as of recording this podcast just a day ago. The newest mini set in Japan for Pokemon cards has been listed on Yahoo.com. It's like a mini set with maybe like 40 new cards, because that's just how Japan does it. They're weird. They don't wait to gather a bunch of cards. They just release small little sets probably to get more money.
To any Japanese listeners, Bub's views do not reflect the views of KTPT.
Exactly. But the interesting thing is, after translating this Japanese text, if you want to call it that, they figured out that one sentence says, introducing the new dragon type. And everyone's saying there's no mistaking in what that means. It's not like a mistranslation. It doesn't mean like new dragon types from fifth generation. It's just a dragon type card. So like electric and colorless, it would join. It would be the 10th type. The last new types were steel and dark,
right,
to match the games. That was like almost 10 years ago.
So wait, dragon hasn't been introduced into the TCG?
Dragons have been, but
no,
they've
mean,
always...
Like dragon. I understand that dragon Pokemon have been in there, but they haven't had, like, a... I don't understand. Is there, like, a specific energy card for it, or what?
They've always just been grouped under Colorless. Oh. And under Colorless is, like, normal types, birds, and dragons have always just been, like, grouped under Colorless.
But dragons have been from the start. Why wouldn't they get a...
I don't know. That's what makes it weird. Like, they're just now introducing its own type with probably its own energy. So, yeah, that will be released January 27th. We'll probably know more specifically about these details earlier than that. Also, interesting fact, all cards from this set are holo. There's no just regular cards. All cards are holo, but they're charging the Japanese people for more, I guess, to offset that.
They do that with Yu-Gi-Oh cards every once in a while.
They release all holo?
They release, like, completely holo packs and charge extra for them and have less cards in them to...
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
Okay, so, yeah, it's a card
money.
Game standard.
Mm-hmm. Money. All right, and one more order of business to keep in theme of our Halloween episode. Dream World has recently, well, about a month ago, but released a Dream World... World, I guess
area?
You would call it?
Area? I never ventured into the Dream World.
No, I haven't used that yet. Probably don't plan on it, but it's called Spooky Manor.
Ooh,
scary.
It's so spooky.
As scary as Pokemon could get. It focuses on dark, ghost, and psychic Pokemon.
Okay, wait. Pause. What is your favorite ghost type Pokemon? We can't continue until you answer this question.
I've never been a huge... Like, I always thought Pokemon could have done so much with the ghost type, and I don't think they have, but favorite ghost would probably be Dusknoir. I don't like his earlier evolutions, but Dusknoir...
Oh, Duskull's adorable, though. I love Duskull.
I always thought it was pretty lame, but when they introduced Dusknoir in Gen 4, I was like, that thing is a beast. Mm. And he was on my first competitive team, actually.
I think my personal favorite ghost type would either be... And they're both Gen 5s, because I'm a big Gen 5 fanboy. Kofagrigus, because he's super awesome and has four arms.
He's pretty cool.
And Jellicent, the male Jellicent, because he reminds me of the Pringles man, and he has a huge mustache. And as a side bonus, my favorite dark type is definitely going to be Honchkrow. I love Honchkrow so much.
As explained on the first episode.
I don't think I mentioned Honchkrow on the first episode. Did I? Or it,
you
no, no, it
definitely
was in my,
did.
It was in my top three. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're
top
right.
Two.
Top two? Whatever.
I have better memory than you.
Which is surprising, considering Bub wandered off in the other direction the other night trying to find my car when we went to dinner. I'm like, dude, it's right over there. What's wrong with you?
They could have just let me go. I would have been lost.
Driven
wandering
off.
Wandering the night. That would have been mean. He wouldn't have done that.
Didn't I have a co-host? Oh, well, whatever.
Whatever. We'll find a replacement.
I'll have my roommate Connor record with me.
That would not happen.
We'll talk about Connor at a later date, because
yeah,
he is an interesting individual.
That's a story for another day.
All right, but anyway, Spooky Manor.
Back to Spooky Manor, because it's so important. So yeah, that was made available September 28th, so just about a month ago, like I said. It also focuses on spooky items, like you can collect items by playing the minigames, like...
Reaper's Cloth?
Reaper Claw,
yeah!
Twisted Spoon, Cleanse Tag. If you're like, oh, I need a Cleanse Tag to keep those wild Pokemons away from me. I still don't know anyone who uses Cleanse Tag, but...
I didn't know Cleanse Tags actually worked. Like, I've never had one work for me before.
It's like half of a repel or something. That's like, it's effectivity or something.
I don't... Okay, whatever.
Or you could just go buy a repel.
You buy a bunch of super repels.
They're only like 100 Pokédollars.
There we go.
So, and also Dream World, when you get the you can collect different Pokémon with special Dream World-only abilities.
Which I still don't quite understand.
It's just, you know, alternate abilities. It's
all right.
Basically incentivizing kids to use Dream World.
Okay.
Give them a reason to play. The two most interesting Pokemon I found with different abilities is Smeargle, with the ability Moody, which raises one stat two stages and lowers one stat one stage at the end of every turn, which could be interesting. It's like a luck kind of thing.
Bizarre. Okay,
if you're
sure.
Just like...
I've never been one for stat changes. I've always been about going in, cracking some heads, and...
And how far has that gotten you?
I've beaten all the Pokemon games, like, six times.
that doesn't
each,
count.
Seven times each. I don't play competitively, yeah, so I'd probably die.
Yeah, you'd die. 6-0.
Whatever.
No chance. And the other Pokemon is Bronzor with Heavy Metal. Alright. Heavy Metal doubles the weight of your Pokemon. Which, at first glance, you'd be like, what's so important about that? Well, that affects moves like Low Kick and the new move they introduced called Heavy Slam, which is a steel type.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how much heavier you are than your opponent, the more damage it does.
So Max that sounds like a really, really situationally useful...
No, but like, if you get a Bronzong with Heavy Metal and Heavy Slam, go against some weak little bird...
Okay, but that would be super overkill. Like, go and take out a P-Dove with your big bronze on.
Hey, I just said it was interesting. I didn't say it was useful.
It's interesting.
It's interesting.
I will concede that. It's very interesting.
And you are now leaving the Bubman Spin Zone.
All right. So next, we're going to talk about the newest Pokemon release for the 3DS. It is Pokemon Rumble Blast.
Goody.
So, I haven't played it yet.
Yes.
So, once again, over to Bub.
Oh, my voice. Okay, so, I've now been playing it for a day. I've tried to cram as much as I can into it. It's, again, interesting, to say the least. It's a sequel to the old Wii game, Pokemon Rumble, the download-only title.
I never played either.
I never played the original either, so maybe I thought, well, since I didn't play the original, maybe that would help me with this game because I won't be more repetitive. The big difference between the two games is that in this one, you are able to collect all Pokemon from all generations, so it's over 600 Pokemon in their little toy form. The game itself, it's not much different than the Wii one. You go around, you press, you have one of two attacks. Mm-hmm. You can only have up to two attacks. They do different things,
okay.
But...
I'm not, just like, before you go into the whole mechanics and everything, I'm not sure I understand the premise. Like, do you build a team of six as...
No.
Or do you just, like, have X number of Pokemon that you wind up and throw into an arena?
I want to say I heard that the original Wii one didn't have much of a story. This one has slightly of a bigger story. It starts out where, like, it shows your Mii from your 3DS that you created winding up a little Pikachu toy.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, Pikachu goes into the toy world. Like, it's some make-believe toy world. You don't have six Pokemon. From all I can tell, you have an unlimited amount of spaces for Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
You can get rid of them if you want, but you just go around destroying other toy Pokemon, and then, like, they just randomly, I think it's, like, some percentage, just, like, catch rate, kind of. You just, they'd want to, they, a little toy form of them drops out, you collect it, and then you can just use it.
So, and you're, like, battle one Pokemon at a time with an endless swarm of...
It's not one at a time, though. You're going down these very, like, linear paths from one, like, little area to the next, and there's, like, maybe in each area there's, like, 10 Pokemon just kind of, like, coming after you using their own attacks. You kill them, and then maybe, like, out of those 10, like, 3 want to join your team.
Okay, so it's
with
like
varying like power levels depending on like your like stats like attack and defense.
Am I right in thinking of it like in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon where if you beat like one of the legendary Pokemon after X amount of whatever, then they'll be like, "Hey, can I join your team? I'm Arceus," or whatever.
They don't say anything. Because
it's like you just collect a toy of them.
Yeah, you just collect a toy. I mean, there are bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the only bosses I've gotten to are, like, bigger forms of kind of intermediate Pokemon, like a big Pig Knight. Battle. Like, the way they do boss battles is they just enlarge the Pokemon. Like, some dark key comes and winds them up, makes them all big, and then you're just battling, like, a big form of that Pokemon, which sounds a little more interesting than what it... It is a little more interesting than it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not that much different. They could have done more.
It's a childish game, then. Like, it's not...
This definitely is not challenging at all.
Okay.
It's definitely aimed for the younger crowd.
So it's not... Like, would someone between the ages of, like, 15 and 19 be able to pick this up and have fun with it? Would they be able to enjoy themselves playing it?
You would have fun if you're looking for... The way they build it is it's very handheld-friendly. So, the stages are really short. You can just do one, and it'll take you, like, at most 10 minutes if you only have that short time.
Right.
It'll be fun for you if you enjoy collecting. Like, they keep with that whole Pokemon theme. Oh, can you collect all 600-plus mm-hmm. Pokemon? Aside from that, I don't see a whole lot of value. I mean, it is only $35 with the new 3DS prices, but I still do not see how $35 warrants what I bought, what
right.
I got. So
it suffers from Resident Evil Mercenaries syndrome, where it's not expansive enough to be called a game, but, like, still sold at the normal retail
yeah.
price.
I mean, it would have been interesting. Like, how interesting would have been if it sold for, like, $10 on the 3DS store?
Yeah.
That, I could have seen that. Like, right next to its 3D Pokedex, you have this game that's $10 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That would be totally much, much more, understandable.
It would be interesting to see them try and link the 3D Pokedex and the Pokemon Rumble Blast or some future Pokemon games in the future.
Yeah. I'm also not a fan of the art of Pokemon Rumble Blast.
Oh, no. It's cute, though.
It would have been cool if they did, like, incorporate 3D sprites from the Pokedex.
Right.
Because those looked actually good. So, I mean, I know I understand it's wind-up toys, but
right.
still, I'm not a fan of the weird.
Because
some Pokemon just come out really weird-looking.
Don't they have, like, Rayman stuff where, like, their head floats above their body or whatever? Or is it, like, not
from all I've seen,
everything's
connected from what I see. It's just weird angles. So they'll have, like, an octagon for, like, a head, and it'll just be attached at, like, a tip. And then, like, its body is just, like, this weird square.
That's really obnoxious.
Yeah, for some Pokemon, it just doesn't work out. But it works out for, like, short back Pokemon. But everything
which
else...
Which is, like, 50% of them anyways.
Which, everything else, though, is handicapped. So, official scale... On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Holy Arceus, 1 being the evil spawn of Stunfisk and Dunsparce, which I'm sure will make it into Gen 6.
Mm-hmm.
This is getting a 6.0 out of 10.
6.0. All right.
Which is a meh.
Graphically, rate it 1 to 10 graphically?
Graphically is 6. I mean, the 3D effect... While not important, kind of looks cool.
And then what about sound quality, like sound effects and music?
Music is skippable. I'd give that 4.
All right.
I turned it down after 2 minutes of playing.
And overall gameplay?
Although repeatedly pressing A or B for attacks doesn't sound interesting at first, it's not as easy as it sounds, even though it's still extremely easy. I'll give that like a 7.
And then, let's see, last ability.
Last ability, well... It's if you're one who gets bored doing the same things over and over, which is probably a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
then you probably might not even make it through the whole game
in
your first run through.
So, what, give that a 5? Maybe a
4.5. I'm feeling pretty angry today.
I mean, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Mr. Bob. Yeah, it wasn't great. Save your money.
Okay. Well...
Transition into an
interesting story or two. We just keep in mind that we just told you it was skippable and to save your money. Bub, you have a couple stories for us?
I do have a couple stories. So, when I went to go pre-order this game at the store, I had got two copies. One with the intent of as a review copy for the show, another as a giveaway prize.
Ooh,
a 3DS. So, a giveaway prize of Pokemon Rumble Blast.
Which we just told you was skippable.
Yeah, so
but hey,
save
you get
your
it
money.
For free.
There you go.
Then you
can tell us how crappy it was. I pre-ordered it thinking, okay, I'll get 2 pre-order bonuses with it. They were giving away cool little pins, which might actually be cooler than the game itself. but the pins I thought were actually kind of cool. They have a Pikachu, the 2 legendaries from the game, and then the 3 starters. And they look really nice, but I went there, and it was late one night, and the guys didn't even know it came with a pre-order bonus, so I had to bring this up to him, and then he's like, let me go check the back. He comes back with just 1, and he goes, you should have gotten 2, but we only had 1. He then asked, well, what are you doing with the games? Which I thought was a really weird question. So instead of trying to explain to him, well, 1 copy is for review and 1 we're giving away, I just said, I'm giving away to the younger siblings.
Mm-hmm.
He
his
then follows
little brother
up,
and his little sister.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
He follows up with a question. He goes, oh, like, 1 boy, 1 girl? And my response was even weirder. I said, sure. Which I should have just said, like, yes or yeah. I said, sure. He kind of looks at me weird, and he's like, I'll be right back. He goes back to the back, comes out. I don't know what he's holding. He hands it to me. He's like, this is exactly what he said. He says, apparently, the new Harvest Moon game came out. Harvest Moon 3D, A Tale of Two Towns, which, I don't know. But he hands me this. He's like, this was the pre-order bonus, but no one came to pick this up. So we can just give this to you as a substitute for the other thing. I kind of looked at it. He's like, you know what? You're giving one of those copies to a boy. He'll probably like the pins. You give the alpaca to a girl.
Yes, it was an alpaca. I don't know if we've mentioned this yet.
Yeah, it was.
It's an adorable fuzzy alpaca.
It's an alpaca from the game. Apparently, I've never played Harvest Moon, but alpacas, I guess, are
they
cute.
They're like a new inclusion to the whatever. I don't know. We're not a Harvest Moon podcast,
but we now have a
adorable alpaca. Fuzzy stuffed alpaca, and that's going to be part of your.
That is part of the
contest
giveaway
for the
giveaway. Not only are you getting a subpar game,
you're getting an alpaca.
An alpaca, which is cute.
It's cute.
I definitely don't want it.
Doesn't have anything to do with Pokemon, but you know what? You're getting it.
Maybe next generation they'll make an alpaca Pokemon.
Who knows? But as far as the contest, because we need a contest to give stuff away, we're still looking into ideas, but we're thinking that we're going to incorporate the costume contest into it, and whoever has the best costume is going to win it. So if you have a 3DS, you got a Pokemon costume, slap something together. Win this prize.
There you go.
But make sure yours is better than everyone else's. Don't put on like a backwards cap and call yourself Ash Ketchum, because
we don't want that.
We're not going to give it to you if you do that. Like, even if you were the only one that entered, we're going to say no. We're going to give it to Trogdor instead.
Yeah. There's also another story about the pre-order or the contest giveaway in general. Our intent was also to procure a display box for the Pokemon Rumble Blast to also give away.
Looking box.
It was a GameStop display box, you know, big thing.
Styled like the box art for the game itself.
I mean, that would have been a nice little bonus. I mean, I would want that. They said that if we came at the right time, we could get it.
And we harassed them on multiple occasions about it. And they kept saying, just come back later. Come back on a Sunday, because that's apparently when they changed the displays. And so my car was out of gas, otherwise I would have driven Bub there, but he hoofed it all the way over to GameStop.
For you guys.
For you.
A 45-minute walk just there.
Never say Bub has done nothing for
you. Yeah, seriously, I walked to GameStop, and just wait till you hear the rest of the story. I go there, they say, I see it's not there. They then say, oh, well, maybe it's in the back. He goes, checks, it's not there. He says, you're free to go dig through our trash to go look for it. And at first I was like, no, I'm not going to dig through trash. And then after a little more thought, after I walked out there, I was like, you know what? I walked all the way here. I'll dig through trash for TPT. I went through, they had like this things of like bags and bags of trash. I spent about 20 minutes going through all their trash bags and still didn't find it. I mean, I found a ton of other stuff. NHL 12 game boxes, a perfectly intact Duke Nukem Forever strategy guide.
With the cover missing,
though.
We could have made a fake cover for it, make it like a Pokemon Rumble Blast strategy guide, and give it to you.
They open it up and to see, like, Duke Nukem Forever. That would be interesting. But yeah, after 20 minutes of digging through trash, I didn't get anything, so I felt a little disappointed.
So we'll just have to come up with a better prize. We'll find something even nicer.
Yeah. But yeah, then I had to walk 45 minutes back.
I'm still feeling a little bit bad about that.
It's not your fault.
But I get paid tomorrow, so then I can drive you more places and you can pick up more presents. Okay. Anyways, that's all we've got for the formal podcast. We have covered a lot today. We gave you some site news, some Pokemon news, gave you a Pokemon mini review. Bub told you two amazing stories, and we gave you a contest and some prizes. So, this is our goodbye for now.
But remember, stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. We have our Lovecraft story, our annual Halloween story. And also, as far as contacting us, we actually have an email address set up. It is ktptpodcast@gmail.com, though Joey has told me that he will be setting us up an email account, ktpt@palettribune.com. So we'll let you know when that's online. But if you have any emails for us, answers to the Fortnite question, send it to ktptpodcast@gmail.com, or send it to the ask at ktptpodcast.tumblr.com.
So many ways to get in touch with us.
And we're going to set up a snail mail eventually, and we're also going to set up a voicemail, but the voicemail hosting site that we intended to use is being disagreeable.
We'll get that under control, though, eventually.
My buddy Alex Carter, I think he's that one dude Alex on the forum.
No, I think he's just Alex.
Oh, is he just
three,
Alex now?
He's Alex with three X's.
Oh, that's correct, yes.
That's his Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that one dude Alex is his Twitter. Go follow him, he's cool.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
But he pointed me towards a voicemail hosting site, and didn't work, unfortunately. They weren't accepting new clients at the time, so I'm going to work it out with Joey and see if we can't get the old phone number from him and set up a new voicemail with us talking instead of him and KC, so you don't get all nostalgic and weepy.
But yeah, we want to hear your voices, so.
Yes, we want to hear your beautiful voices. But yes, the Fortnite question, if I may remind you, is what is your best Pokemon pickup line? And these have to be kept PG-13, even though the story I'm about... have to be kept PG or G, even though the story I'm about to tell you is PG-13. So stay tuned. Goodbye for now. Stay pretty, you guys. Those who study Pokemon are drawn to anomalies. This is a non-negotiable fact. Where there is something different, there is often something new. And where there is something new, there is progress to be made in the field of Pokemon studies. Pokemon professors are drawn to underground caverns, dripping and sticky with heat and moisture, to barren deserts, sun-scorched and overrun by sandstorms, to tropical jungles, murky and quiet, listening for a cry, looking underfoot for an as-of-yet-undiscovered creature or a hidden egg. Passion draws professors out into these caves. Drive draws professors into these deserts. Discovery draws professors into the jungle. These same reasons are why I found myself standing deep within the Viridian Forest in the Kanto region. I had overheard rumors brought to me by my lab assistants that there existed a cavern below the verdant expanses north of Viridian City, untouched by man. A prospect like this was too tempting to leave untouched. I immediately packed my belongings and set out on an adventure. I crossed oceans, traveled mountains, and at times simply plodded along the city streets, taking in the sights as I went, but eventually I found myself at my destination, Viridian Forest. I hunkered down in the forest for a week before making any notable discoveries. My days I spent hunting, my nights I spent in my tent, listening to the bug Pokemon prowl around outside, curiously picking at the folds of my temporary abode before scuttling off. After 7 days of passionate, driven searching, however, I made my discovery. Like a fool, I had opted to start at the outer edge of the forest and search my way inward. Had I done the opposite, I would have discovered it much sooner. Though I had no tools to accurately tell me whether or not it truly was, the entrance was located at what I believed to be the very center of Viridian Forest. A small inlet, adorned with various ancient symbols I could not decipher, pulsated warm air into the atmosphere, creating a very conflicting drowsiness to battle my excitement. I could not enter standing, so I fell to my hands and knees, then to my stomach, and inched forward into the opening. Though I crawled in this cramped, claustrophobic space for what seemed like hours, I never gave any thought to turning back. Even when the path took a noticeable diagonal dip, I never entertained the notion. The air grew thicker as I made my descent, and still I crawled. Time passed, and I began to see a faint light in the distance. Though my body was racked with fatigue, the light was enough to ignite an adrenaline rush that sent me crawling so fast my coat ripped on the low tunnel ceiling, and my hands bled, shredded on sharp stones. Finally, finally, I reached the light. My breath caught as soon as my head broke through into this other world. A shimmering light shone forth from a multitude of crystals that hung from the ceiling, and even from where I stood I could see shapes I did not recognize flitting from light source to light source. Some form of moth Pokemon, though it was no Dustox. It was no Mothim. I couldn't contain my glee. A laugh tumbled from my lips, and another, and another. The noise attracted the attention of more Pokemon who peered at me from behind stalagmites and boulders, whose faces I did not recognize, whose simple existence caused me to double over with joyous laughter once more. I had found a region below a region. I had discovered a land that time forgot, a land that no one had previously discovered. My name would go down in history books. I wasted no time. I reset the memory on my Pokedex and began chronicling all of these new discoveries. Much time passed, and I found myself growing weary. I had barely made it 100 yards from where I had entered, and I still had discovered more than a typical Pokemon professor would discover in a lifetime. Though I had worked on pure adrenaline before, my muscles began to feel the strain of the tunnel trawl, and my eyes had begun to glaze with fatigue. I quietly cursed myself as I realized that I had left my tent behind. I would have to find some other place to take residence for the night. Though the Pokemon I had discovered thus far had been largely docile, there was no telling what creatures still lurked in the shadows. I decided to exert the last of my strength, looking for ways to provide myself with some form of shelter. It didn't take long before I happened upon it. A small, battered house, resting beneath a large and rather unstable-looking crystal formation. Though it seemed implausible, my tired mind was in no shape to argue the prospect of a place to sleep for the night. I made my way towards the residence. As I reached the door, I found myself rapping the brass knocker, more out of unconscious common courtesy than anything else. I stood for a few moments before the door, feeling foolish as no sound came from inside. I had expected this to be the case, and yet something about it filled me with a sense of unease. Nevertheless, I turned the latch and pressed my weight against the door. I found myself inside a sparsely decorated dining room. Old, worn-out cooking supplies and utensils rested on a narrow table set up against the back wall. Two oil lanterns sat opposite each other in their respective corners of the room. In the center, a large wooden table loomed, empty, save for a lone book. I could tell instantly that I was intruding. The lanterns looked to be freshly lit, but the book caught my attention, and curiosity got the best of me. I strode confidently to the table, seized the book, and flipped it open. I could scarcely believe my eyes. What I held in my hands appeared to be a Pokédex from ancient times, though Pokédex was such a modern word. The age and detail of this tome could only have it be referred to as a Pokémon encyclopedia. I rifled through the pages, finding lengthy descriptions in a slanted font, detailed diagrams, and even musical scores attempting to denote the Pokémon cries. Not only had the Pokémon from the cavern been documented, but several species from the Kanto region had been as well. This Pokémon encyclopedia predated Professor Oak's work by at least 100 years, and I had found it. It was my discovery. My elation was interrupted by heavy footfalls from the room upstairs. I froze, panicked. I had known I was not alone in the house from the moment I had stepped foot inside it, but the steps from above drove it home full force that I was intruding. I hastily slapped the book back on the table and turned to the staircase. Moments later, a mountainous man emerged. He was easily 7 feet tall, with a wide gait and broad shoulders. Much of his face was obscured by a thick, ash-gray beard, but what little skin showed through betrayed his age. His eyes drooped at the bottom lid and at the corners, his sheer abundance of years alive weighing them down. He wore simple clothing that appeared to be made of some manner of wool, presumably sheared from one of the smaller Pokémon from the cavern, that I had noted before bore a resemblance to Mareep. I was taken aback by his sheer size, and we stared at each other for a moment in silence before he spoke.
"Oi, well ain't this a sight for sore eyes?" he barked, clapping his hands and grinning somewhere beneath his mess of facial hair. "Oi, it's been a long time since I've seen another person around here, eh?"
I couldn't help but smile at his clumsy, broken dialect. Though huge, the man was of a simple kind, and as I watched his heavy eyes curl into a smile, I couldn't help but feel at home. I cleared my throat and voiced my apologies for intruding. A short, harsh laugh and a scraping of a chair pulled out for my benefit cut my pleasantries short.
"I ain't gonna be no baller, friend. Sit down for a mo, make yourself at home. It's been a long time, oh, it's been a long time."
The man busied himself about the area, shoving aside pots, pans, and knives on the back counter to make room for a small burner and an herbal mixture that I could only assume was some form of tea. As he worked, I asked him about himself. For such an enthusiastic man, he had surprisingly little to say. He had lived down below for countless years now. He had lost count. His only company, his mother and father, had long since passed away, and he had found no interest in venturing to the surface to start life anew.
"Asides," he added with a nod, "the only way you get back up there is through the top, is through the same way you came down here, and I..."
He gestured to his sizable frame.
"I don't reckon I can get up through there."
He laughed, and I nodded politely as he busied himself with his drink once again. Finally, I could take it no longer, and curiosity got the better of me. I asked about the encyclopedia on the table. The man glanced over his shoulder at the tome and fell silent for a moment, continuing to busy himself with the drinks. Finally, he raised the two glasses and brought them to the table, setting one in front of me. I politely sipped at it and nodded for him to continue.
This one of my father's projects," he began. "I can't read a lick of what's going on in there, but I find myself captivated by the pictures. The detail my father put into this, it's there. It's right from the first page."
He flipped the book open and pointed to a picture of the moth Pokemon I had seen upon entering the cave. He looked at me inquisitively, then spoke.
You think you can read a little bit to me, please?"
The childlike nature of his plea, combined with his old, imploring eyes, made it impossible for me to say no. I lifted the books and read the words slowly.
The language is archaic, and I stumbled here and there over a long-forgotten word, but the man didn't seem to notice. The light of knowledge shone upon his face as he absorbed every word I spoke with relish. Finally, he raised a hand for me to stop.
"Thank you,"
he said, and fell silent. We sat in this small, barren room, not a word spoken for several minutes. Finally, he broke the tension once more.
"Would you mind if I showed you my favorite picture?"
I shook my head and waved my hand for him to continue, and he took the book and held it in his palm, the pages falling open easily to a point in the middle, as if the tome had been open to that very page many times before. He looked down at the book and smiled before handing it to me, eager to share his prized possession. Before me was a diagram of a man dissected. My breath caught in my chest for a second time that day, but as I looked closer, I realized that the illustration was not of a man, but of a machoke, cut along all the places that a typical human male would have the most prominent musculature. The page was soft to the touch and worn through in places, as if someone had lovingly caressed it many times over countless years. The detail in the drawing was repulsive, and it sickened me just to look at it, but whenever I turned my head to escape it, the man repositioned the book back into my line of sight. What I had once taken for a childlike glee on his face seemed a manic enthusiasm now, and I wanted with every part of myself to be out of the man's company as soon as possible.
"Isn't it beautiful?" the man prodded, still holding the book out. "How everything works together to make one living, breathing unit." His breath came in shallow bursts now. "I saw this, and I couldn't help myself. I had to see how other things work too. I took some of the creatures out there and just opened them up a little bit. Just enough so I could see what's making them tick. And I learned that each one of them worked just a little bit differently. Even ones that are the same ilk work a little bit differently than the others like it. And I thought to myself, how do I work? What makes me tick? And I thought to myself, well, I can't just cut myself open. That'd be crazy. I just had to wait and see just maybe if someone would come to me. And I thought to myself, well, just maybe when that little bug catcher boy came down here, he would work the same way as me, but that next bug catcher boy worked a little bit differently than the first. And where are you going? I'm only talking in hypotheticals, my good man. Sit down. And I thought to myself, the next one that came down here, a young lady, worked just a little bit differently than the rest. And to think that that one worked differently than I would find work someone that worked just like me. Someone that would work just like me.
The man's words were interrupted by two sounds. The first, a straining from above. The perilously secured rock structure overhead was groaning under the fault pressure. The second was liquid falling on paper. I looked down at the encyclopedia, pages still open to the grotesque machoke, but something was different. The yellowed paper and blackened ink was now marred by a simple splatter of red. My gaze trailed up to the ceiling, as did his, where a large irregular spot of crimson spread and seemed to continue even as I viewed it. I made no motion to move or cry out. I merely shut my eyes. A moment later came a thunderous crack of stone, and a second crack of the house we sat in, the man and I, being demolished beneath the weight of the accursed stone, that blessed stone. That stone that saved me from the house of unutterable secrets and brought me to the oblivion which alone saved my mind.